Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode number 80, recorded Wednesday, November 21st, 2024.
Woohoo! Oh, you're so cool, Brewster.
Fright Night.
Some new ones.
Fright Night. To die, yeah, Fright Night.
You deserve to die, boy.
I love Fright Night. Come on, man.
Yep.
All right. Wow. I can't believe we're at episode 80. Holy shitballs.
Yeah. Is that like the... What anniversary is that? Like the Sawdust anniversary?
Sawdust? Yeah, it must be. Damn. All right. Let's get started with the news. Okay, the first story. Paul W.S. Anderson is going to write and direct a House of the Dead adaptation.
Ooh, sweet.
So I don't know if you guys remember, House of the Dead was a Sega shooter on rails game.
They have a new one now on PlayStation, actually.
I remember that in the video game, the arcades.
That's the thing, as I used to play it at the arcades all the time. And I even remember, like, my kids, we used to take them to Dave and Buster's every now and then, and they would always have one of the House of the Dead games there, and I would stand there and play it while they ran around playing their little stuff. And it came out on the Wii, too. That was one of the first pretty cool things that was out. That when the Wii came out, they had a House of the Dead on rails game. That was pretty cool.
Yep.
The cool thing is, Paul W.S. Anderson, now, if you're not familiar, he wrote Monster Hunter, the Death Race franchise, the Evil Dead franchise, and Alien vs. Predator. He also directed Event Horizon, Mortal Kombat 1995, Alien vs. Predator, all of the Resident Evil franchise movies, the Death Race franchise movies, and Monster Hunter. So he's done plenty of video game adaptations. Some were pretty good, some not so much.
Yeah.
I'd probably check it out. I pumped a lot of money into that fucking game.
It was a fun game.
Much of a story, though.
They're going to have to make a story of it. And that's the thing. The Deadline actually posted some in the article in Deadline, which I'll link into the story and onto the website. They posted some concept art that he shared with them, and it looks pretty freaking cool. So I'm kind of excited for it. This is going to be an action pack feature based on the legacy Sega franchise game. House of the Dead debuted in 1996 as a on-rail shooter game for the Sega system and in the arcades. The undead villains have the ability to run, which kind of was an inspiration for Jack Snyder in his Dawn of the Dead remake. According to the article in Deadline, Paul W.S. Anderson says, "I love this video game since it came out in 96. Back then, I was a big video game player, and I loved going to the arcade to play this game," which is how I got into Mortal Kombat and wound up directing the first Mortal Kombat film. It's pretty much played both of those games around the same time. I was also playing a lot of House of the Dead, and this is a title that I loved quite a bit and can't wait to make this feature.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, I'll give it a watch. I mean, like I said, some of these titles that he's done have been pretty good. The first Mortal Kombat movie I really enjoyed. The second one kind of sucked ass, but the first one was really good. Companion posted a teaser trailer. The sci-fi thriller Companion is coming your way from writer-director Drew Hancock. This is the first movie that he has written and directed. Previously, he's written some TV shows, and the only ones that I looked up and saw that I was like, oh, I know that, was, of course, Mr. Pickles. He wrote 10 episodes of Mr. Pickles.
Mr. Pickles. Great show. Great show.
Mr. Pickles!
That was such a trip. The first couple episodes I watched, I felt like I was tripping on acid or something like that. Yeah. So disjointed.
Dude, I fucking loved it.
I know. I was hooked on that
show. Some real freaks in that town.
Yeah. Hooked on that
show. Yeah. The production crew that is behind this is the horror crew that made the horror hit Barbarian in 2022.
Yeah.
This project was announced about a year ago, and they pushed the date to January 31st. It was supposed to come out in November, but they pushed it to January 31st. Somehow they managed to keep this production shrouded in secrecy.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And which is a good thing, because I was so – I got to see an early screening of it, and this is the great thing. Was it a complete – Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was a complete film.
Yep. Yeah. And it was one where I didn't have to sign an NDA, and the director even came out and said, listen, hit the socials, hype up the film, but don't give away any of the secrets.
Yeah.
Nice. Get your friends to watch it. And there was a Q&A session afterwards that was moderated by Jason Reitman. And when he first got up on stage, he was like, dude, this is your first film? He's like, you did so many things that I wish I could do in my films. He said, you go from comedy to horror on a dime. And it's ways where like you dance the line where like when people make movies, you kind of dance the line of like, is it too much? Is it too little? Mm-hmm, is it at the wrong time? Is the audience already anticipating that this is going to be a funny scene or a scary scene? He said, you shocked everybody. He goes, twice I heard the audience gasp. And he goes, I wish I could bottle that sound and play it back endlessly in my head. He goes, wow. So it was, I audibly gasped. Gasped twice during this film. It shocked the shit out of me.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, what a great film. And it's such a unique idea that nobody's done this before. And it really made me excited because the Boulder Light Productions, they're investing in films that are unique. I mean, everything we see.
The next A24?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I went back and looked, and I've seen some of their stuff already, and it's good. It's all good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited. That trailer looks really good. And the trailer accidentally does not give anything away. And what a fucking movie, man!
Woo. Yeah, it's a good cast too. I like that cast.
It comes out on IMAX January 31st. So if you're listening, go see it in IMAX. I didn't see it in IMAX. I bet it would be fucking stellar in IMAX.
Really?
Yeah, I gotta see it in IMAX.
Might be what my Valentine's Day date night movie.
It's a great date movie because, like I said in the thing, this is a perfectly perverted love story from hell. It is fucking intense.
Nice.
Yeah, hopefully it gets a broad showing in theaters.
Yeah, it's going to. Warner Brothers picked it up. The production company, there were a couple of production companies associated. The script was picked up by Boulder Light Pictures, but this was developed by New Line Cinema and distributed by Warner Brothers.
Oh, sweet.
Oh,
wow. So that'll be on Max, too.
Probably, yeah, probably.
Good. Yeah, they get all the Warner Brothers stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And again, they've got a couple movies in the pipeline. I've heard from the Toronto Film Festival, they have a film called Friendship that supposedly is really good, and there's another one on that list called Weapons, which is coming out pretty soon, I believe. So I'm very excited for everything that Boulder Light Pictures is doing.
Sweet.
Right. Street Trash posted the trailer up in our Facebook group, and I'll put the link up here. Street Trash director Ryan Kruger says that the Street Trash film, he is considers this to be a sequel and not a remake. I don't know if you guys watch 1987, the original Street Trash film. I watch I was in junior high school. I watch it with a bunch of friends. And so many people like in my junior high loved it so much that a couple kids had a band and they named their band Street Trash after the movie Street Trash because it was a fucked up movie. It was a really good B horror film. It was kind of like there was a zombie film that came out back then too that was like a comedy horror B movie. And I can't remember what it was called. But this Street Trash is pretty wild. I think if I remember correctly, it was about like street bums in LA, and this guy wanted to get rid of all the homeless people. So he was digging in his basement. He has like a convenience store. And he found this carton of bottles called Viper, and he put them on the counter, and every homeless person, he was selling it to them like it was alcohol, and then they would drink it and they would like dissolve and like turn into like goop and shit. It was kind of wild. But Ryan Kruger is creating a new one. I posted the trailer up on Facebook. I'll post it otherwise. Ryan Kruger told Bloody Disgusting and this article that I read on Bloody Disgusting that this is the same world as the 1987 original film. Actually, it mentions the stuff from the original film. Hmm. So for me, it's always been a sequel. So for all the original fans, this is actually a sequel and not a remake. Do not despair. Your audience, for a new audience, it can stand. It can be a standalone film. And if you're familiar with the original, this is a sequel. Hmm. So it says while he was making the movie, he endeavored to make it as 80s as possible, using old school prosthetics, practical effects, multicolored goo, and gore sequences, and shooting the entire film on 35 millimeter.
Sweet.
So that's awesome. A little retro throwback. One of our favorite movies amongst the team here, Seven, is getting a 4K release. Woohoo!
Nice.
Warner Brothers is dishing out the cash to do a 4K restoration of Seven for the 30th anniversary edition.
The special edition should come in a box.
Yeah.
The special edition comes in a box along with a poster and a bunch of other crap.
And a head?
A fake
Gwyneth Paltrow. That would be nice. Head. It would come with a Gwyneth Paltrow head. Would be really cool. Yeah. The new 4K restoration was like was supervised by David Fincher.
Oh, really?
Yes. And the new restoration will come in HDR10 presentation. That's high dynamic range of the film. It'll have four different audio commentaries featuring one with David Fincher, one with Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, and other collaborators from the film. Additionally, there will be extended scenes, alternate cuts, nice. Alternate endings, and cut scenes.
That'd be a great movie for ultra high def because it was so dark. Like, although I'm trying to picture that dude with all like the needles and shit in him, like yeah. on the bed, like in ultra high def, like
high dynamic range is probably going to be very very graphic. I'm looking forward to it. I already pre-ordered my copy.
Nice.
All right. Judy Greer had an interview with Collider, and she teased her upcoming role in the Stephen King The Long Walk.
Ah, Judy Greer.
Yes, yes, yes. The wonderful voice from Archer. Amongst other things. In Collider, she says, yeah, it's called The Long Walk. It's based on a novel by Stephen King that he wrote in 1979. It was a response to the Vietnam War. Our movie kind of takes place again in a sort of like timeless place. There's some technology, but there's a lot of throwback elements to the script. Francis Lawrence directed it, and Cooper Hoffman is the star. There's a bunch of great new actors in his movies, and I'm excited to see all this talent and where they are going to emerge. Greer also emphasized that the intensity of the story and how it was on the set, this is really, 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 really dark story, and it'll probably be perfect when it comes out. So, all right. We're looking forward to that one. It was a good story, and I'm sure it'll be a great film.
Sweet.
Vanity Fair had an interview with Bill Skarsgård, and they asked him a little bit about Nosferatu, and he says that they hesitated on doing a remake of Nosferatu/Dracula because there has been thousands of Dracula movies and Nosferatu movies. He says Orlok is also Dracula. To me, in terms of iconic horror characters, the number one is Dracula/Nosferatu. It's the most seminal work of literature in Gothic horror, for sure. And it's been adapted more than probably any other book that's ever been written. The story is so ingrained in our subconscious that it's very daunting to step into it. I was a huge fan of Robert Eggers before. He and I would have these things like, what are we doing? Why are we doing Nosferatu? Are we taking up something that's too big? Are we remaking something that doesn't need to be retold? He felt that the pressure is with all of this still seems to have created a fucking masterpiece.
Nice.
So I've heard from people who have seen a screening of it that this movie is going to be your favorite movie, all of our favorite movie, and really? That it will probably go directly to the Oscars.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome. And
when's that getting released?
That comes out on Christmas Day.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, that's the best. I can't wait to go see it on Christmas Day. I'm going to go see it on Christmas Day.
I'm going to go see it the day after.
Yeah.
That's going to be our favor, huh?
And that's what they say. I'm excited. Hey, listen, it's going to be a tough thing because let me tell you, 2024 has been full of some fucking great films.
Yeah.
And I haven't even seen some of the ones that you saw. I still haven't seen The Substance.
So. Oh, my God. Dude, you guys have got to see The Substance because I got some I got some pictures and shit that I wanted to share with you.
Yeah.
That I can't share with you until you see it.
It's 2.5 hours. It's a 2.5 hour long movie, too.
It's a fucking good movie, though.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, those 2.5 hours.
No, I know, but I just, like, it. I don't, I gotta have a little time to watch it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's not the length, it's the time I just need, like right. I said.
It's not the length, it's the width.
Yeah, that's right. That's what she said. And Chris still hasn't seen A Human Centipede either.
So. And he's not going to see that movie.
Come on, dude.
Oh, you're so cool, Brewster.
Didn't they even do they did a South Park episode on that, too, didn't they?
They did,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I eat the cuttlefish.
Should I eat the vanilla custard or the cuttlefish? Eat the custard. Eat the fish. Okay.
No, cuttlefish and asparagus.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to eat the cuttlefish. Dude, that episode was so fucking good. And the best part about it, it was the user agreement for the iPhone.
Yeah, people just hit agree, right? Yeah, he didn't read it. Yeah, and Steve Jobs was like, he does not read. He still does not read.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked that version of it.
Yeah, you're not gonna watch. You're not gonna watch the actual film.
No.
Ah, well.
I got to draw the line somewhere, man.
Yeah, well.
Ass to mouth is just not my thing.
That's literally ass to mouth. Yeah. Like, this is fucked up. Listen, yes, that film. Is. That yes, film, man. Oof. Man.
Oof. Yep.
And the second one is even fucking.
Yep.
Mm, yeah. I wouldn't ask you to watch a second one, but you definitely need to find time for that first one. You got it. Yeah, you sure. Got to.
I have no time.
Come on.
Time for it. Listen, to. I'm going to come to Pennsylvania in spring, and we're going to tie you down at fucking yep. Craig's house and make you watch it.
Put the toothpicks yep. in my yeah, eyes.
We're doing the Clockwork Orange on you. We're going to make you watch it.
A little bit of the Ludwig von.
Yeah.
All right. Deadline had an article in there with Thomasin McKenzie joining Margaret Qualley in Victorian Cycle. We talked about this last month. They announced a new film coming out called Victorian Cycle that will have Margaret Qualley in it. She's been in tons of horror movies now lately. But now they've added Thomasin McKenzie. She's from Last Night in Soho. I don't know if you guys have seen that film.
Yeah,
I saw it.
It was
a good movie. Really good movie, actually.
She was also, when she was a little younger, she was also in The Power of the Dog, and she played the young girl that got pregnant in Old. I don't know if you've seen Old.
I saw that, too. Yep.
I didn't see Old, no.
And M. Night Shyamalama-lama-ding-dong.
Shyamalama-ding-dong. Yeah.
That was a weird one.
Yeah, it was. It was.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't one of his better ones either. But
So they're adding some good players in there. So we'll see what happens. Victorian Psycho.
Victorian Psycho.
I don't know. All right. I also posted the Y2K trailer number 2. We saw a teaser trailer last month, and now this month they posted a full trailer of Y2K 2. Mm. And I don't know if you noticed it, but in that trailer, Fred Durst is in the film.
What?
Takes place in the 90s. You can't have the 90s without someone of the new metal bands. Yeah, so Fred Durst is in there.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
This is one that I got from IndieWire, but I searched it because last week I went to the Fourth Horseman. They had the horror trivia. And one of the questions was, what is the name of Leonardo DiCaprio's production company that will be doing a documentary of Rod Serling from The Twilight Zone?
I don't know.
The name of the company is called Appian Way. So Appian Way is producing a Rod Serling documentary.
Yeah, I saw that.
Appian Way, which is Leonardo DiCaprio's production company, was founded in 2001, was trying to get permission to do a Twilight Zone film for the last almost decade.
Wow.
He was attached to produce this big screen remake of the classic property, and it never happened. We do know there was a remake of the TV show, right, with his name? Monkey Paw Productions and Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
I never watched it. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch it.
Nope.
But apparently it wasn't that successful because it did one season and that was it. So now apparently his production company is pivoting with all the information they have about Rod Serling and releasing an authorized biographical documentary about Rod Serling. Turns out it's going to focus on Rod Serling and how he changed television forever. The film will take a look at Rod Serling's humble beginnings in television and how he later used his platform to effect a change both on and off the screen, including battling with censors, grappling with thought-provoking issues of racism, war, dangers of technology, morality, and genre-bending sci-fi parables. So could be interesting. I mean, The Twilight Zone was always a fun show to watch when I was a kid.
Sure.
Yeah, but I could guess why it didn't do so well in the modern day, because, I mean, we're basically living it, so.
You got a point there.
You know? Like, what are you going to throw at me that's not fucking already happening?
Every day I wake up, I feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone. Somewhere along the way, the Scarlet Witch magicked us into the wrong fucking timeline.
Yeah. I went fucking out, bitch.
Yeah. Some other news here. We got Terrifier 3 is finally coming to digital this month, and physical comes out in December.
Sweet.
Apple TV Plus has announced Monarch Legacy of Monsters Season 2 is now in production. I post a link to an X.com posting from Apple TV. This was right before I canceled my X.com. I actually deleted my account entirely. Because fuck that fucking asshole. Monarch Legacy of Monsters Season 2. So Monarch Legacy of Monsters, I talked to you guys about the first season, was pretty fucking amazing.
I watched it. Yeah.
I don't have Apple.
Yeah, bummer.
It was really good.
Yeah, so Season 2 is the latest in the Legendary Entertainment's Monsterverse series. And that series and canon to this story is Godzilla, Kong, Skull Island, Godzilla, King of Monsters, Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, Netflix animated series Skull Island are all canon to this Monarch Legacy of Monsters.
Interesting. Universe.
Yeah. Entertainment Weekly had an interview with Stephen King saying that he is now announces a new book called Never Flinch. If you're interested in seeing what it's about, Entertainment Weekly has an excerpt from the book on their website. We'll post a link to Facebook, and it's also in the show notes on our website. The one thing of note is that the story brings back the character Holly Gibney, which was previously in The Outsider and If It Bleeds. She was also in Mr. Mercedes. She was in that storyline, too. Unfortunately, when they made the TV show Mr. Mercedes, they made Holly Gibney a white person as she was in the book and not black like she was in the HBO series The Outsider.
That show was okay.
I liked it.
Outsider. It was okay.
Yeah, I liked it. I bought it on
the season finale 4K. Was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really wanted them to have season two, and then it got canceled. Yep. It kind of bums me out. Same thing with that, you know, the fucking, what was that, that other one that was on HBO for a while there, that takes place in the past, and it was like, I can't remember.
You're not giving me anything to go on here, man.
No, I know what he's talking about. Because I really like that
something
show.
Country, and it had mostly African Americans in it from Oklahoma, and they cover the Oklahoma riots. And...
Oh, Lovecraft Country!
Country. There you go. Damn it, my brain.
Yeah, once you started saying like, oh, dude, that was a great show. Yeah.
And it was supposed to have a season two, and it got completely canceled by HBO.
That was so unique, man. Yeah. Like those two little girls creeped the shit out of me.
Oh yeah, that was creepy.
Oh my god.
They come like creeping around the corner like spiders or something. Oh man.
Yeah, that was a good show.
It was a really good show.
Or the chick that had sex with people and killed them. Yeah, well, Jonathan Majors is problematic nowadays, but he wasn't back then. All right.
No, he was great in that show.
Robert Eggers' Nosferatu gets an R rating, according to JoeBlow.com. I'll post the link for that, too. And Mortal Kombat 2 gets an R rating.
Nice.
According to JoeBlow.com. We're still not aware of when this is going to be released. I did see rumors that it'll be October of 2025, but that seems long off now that their rating is available. And I know over the past 6 months, I keep seeing advertisements for people to go see the screening of it up in Hollywood, but I don't see it anymore. So that makes me think they're done screening it. They finished whatever they need to do, and it should be coming to theaters soon.
But don't they sometimes hold on to finished movies to put them out at an optimal time?
Dude, just think about fucking... what was that? The Salem's Lot remake. That one sat on the shelf for like 2 years after they were done screening it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it might be done. That's where they decided they wanted to release it.
I'm trying to think. Did they have a rating announcement for that one? They might have already too, and it sat for 2 years. You probably, yeah. So who knows? Mortal Kombat 2 is coming. That's what we know. The first one on HBO, that first movie,
I thought it was great.
Was freaking great. I loved it. I can only expect that the second movie is going to be just as good. And there is a teaser trailer, finally, but it's not very much, for Alien Earth.
Is that an Apple one, too?
No, that's FX. That's going to be
a movie. Okay, cool. Sweet.
All right, that is it for news.
Did you start watching Hysteria yet on Peacock?
I planned on watching it, and then I got diverted into watching a bunch of other shit.
Ah, that's a great show.
Yeah, I got hooked on to Yellow Jackets. Kind of what I'm watching.
Oh, yeah, Yellow Jackets is really good, too. Yeah.
Let me tell you, because that Sophie Thatcher is in Yellow Jackets, so I haven't watched it yet, but I don't have Paramount Plus, so I'm like...
It's on Netflix now.
Season one is.
But at least some of it. Yeah, some of it's on Netflix.
So yeah, start on Netflix.
So then I'll watch it on there.
And the new season of What We Do in the Shadows has been pretty funny too.
That has been great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be sad to see it go, but I think it's a good idea.
No, you can't. You can't just go on forever. You need to stop at some point.
Yeah, but it's been really good.
Yep.
Wow! Fantastic. All right. Now we got 5 flicks to watch by Craig.
Yep. I chose Netflix because the first movie is Thanksgiving.
Nice.
In time for Thanksgiving.
Gotta break that one out this week.
I'll watch it on
4K. I'll watch it.
Yeah, we'll watch it. I picked Fear Street for another because.
New one's
right around the corner, I hope.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the new one now, too. Yeah,
Fear Street makes another list.
Yep. Evil Dead Rise, because it's a fucking awesome movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Scream remake.
Yes.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Aren't they calling it, like, isn't that Scream 5 or something, or is that a remake?
Yeah, no, it was Scream 5. It was like
new characters. Requel.
But, requel.
Yeah. Requel. A requel. There you go. That's good.
Yes.
That's what they actually called it in the movie.
Yep.
Nice.
Requel.
And there's someone inside the house. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was kind of a fun slasher. It was sort of like a Scream-like movie.
Yeah, I did. That was only a couple years ago, right? Like, I think it's maybe a year or two old. Yeah, that was a good one.
I didn't see that.
It was sort of a Scream type movie.
I think it's a Netflix original too.
Yeah, you got to check it out. So
I like it.
It's good. Very entertaining.
Yeah,
that's my list.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good.
Some good ones.
All right. Now we've got top five indie horror films.
This was tough, man. There's a lot of them. There's a ton. Like, I was like, so many. Done top 10.
Dude, there's so many.
So I had a method to my madness to help me narrow it down.
Yeah, Chris, Craig, Sal.
Again, this was really tough. Yeah, I didn't realize when I said it. Like there's a lot of really amazing indie horror from the back to the 80s all the way up to present day. So I'm gonna leave some out, and these are my list. But damn, it was a lot harder than I thought it would be. Because so number 5, I put X. I liked that because it was a 70s grindhouse vibe to it. Yeah, so it was a modern movie, but it was showing homage to the its forefathers. Number four, It Follows, which was for me like a something brand new. Like I hadn't seen that in a while. And like I was just like, wow, like that's different.
Yep.
And they're making a sequel that's coming out soon.
And it was creepy, right?
It was real creepy, dude. Like, dude, I was on the edge of my seat that entire movie.
Yeah.
I loved
the entire movie.
It was relentless, right? It was just,
it just kept coming.
Yeah. That's the kind of horror movie I love.
Yeah.
Where it just doesn't give up.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Like, there's no second to breathe at all. Like, it's just, you're.
Yep.
Good stuff. Number three, I think it was my top movie of last year, When Evil Lurks. That's that Brazilian horror flick that, like, just there was just some nasty stuff in that movie.
Yeah.
So I like that one. Number two is Hereditary. It's been on numerous lists.
Yep. For good reason.
Yeah.
Yep.
And my number one is Evil Dead, which, you know, it's a classic now, but at the time it was, and you can really say that for a lot of the old horror movies. Like, but I just love that. That movie, and that's my number one. I'm just gonna buckshot a few honorable mentions out here real quick because you know it's probably limited to The Witch, Mandy, Terrifier, and Barbarian.
Okay,
nice.
Yeah,
nice. That's a good list.
Yeah,
it could have had a lot more. I didn't realize.
Dude, that's the thing. It was so hard, man. I almost felt like you should have narrowed it down to like a decade or something.
We could do that. We could do that. You know, I was like, shit. I should have said that. Let's just do the 80s or something.
Yeah. We can save that for another time. We can break it down and do it again with the different decades. Sure.
So these aren't necessarily my favorites. So what I did is I sort of picked them for what they sort of did for independent movies.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay.
Like you said, they're not necessarily my favorites, but I think they were sort of significant in the indie movie.
That's a cool approach.
So number five, I went with The Blair Witch.
Yeah, that definitely.
That one made me nauseous. I even tried to watch it again recently, and I get nauseous.
Yeah, I like I said, it's, you know.
But it broke ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, I saw it. I went to see it in the theater, and I didn't look at the screen most of the time because it was so nauseous.
You know what was funny? Was funny when we came out, somebody had like a pile of twigs in the park. Somebody was being funny.
That's funny.
So that's why, like I said, it had a lot of buzz to it. You know what I mean?
It sure did. People thought it was real for a while.
It spawned a whole found footage genre.
Yeah, exactly. For horror. And that's why it's my number five. Number four, I didn't realize this was an independent horror movie, but Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said. Like, all those, like, originals that, you know, were small, you know, studio, like, but yeah, great flick.
I think it set a standard for horror movies moving forward.
Yep.
Number three, I went with Texas Chainsaw.
Another good one.
When I was a kid, I just remember people saying it was the fucking scariest, grossest movie that they'd ever seen.
I remember when I first saw that one. I saw that after I saw Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street gave me nightmares. But I watched this one and I was like, this is based off a true story?
Yeah.
What the? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's sort of why I put it on the list too, because it was kind of, you know what I mean, based off a true story.
It's just so gritty too. It is a great movie.
Yeah, yeah. This one didn't fall in the, you know, groundbreaking or whatever. Mandy, just because I fucking love it, was my number two.
Was that your number two? Okay.
Yeah, that was my number two.
Yeah, Mandy is fucking great.
Yeah. Like I said, it doesn't fall into that groundbreaking shit. But my number one was Long Legs because it made the most fucking money.
That's true.
Out of out of indie film.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So that's why that's my number one. So just shows you what indie films can do, right? Long Legs, set a record for
definitely
for the most money. I mean, it's the time too, right? I mean,
movies cost good approach.
Movies
good
cost
approach
twice as much as they used to, so they're obviously going to make more money. But
true.
So yeah, that's my list, and fucking everything else is on my fucking
honorable mention.
Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. All right, I took a different approach. I just thought about like what is an indie film and what are the ones that impress me the most, right?
Yep.
And it's very difficult. I really wish we should have narrowed it down by decade, but here we are. Number five, Let the Right One In.
Yep.
That movie.
I had a hard time not putting that. I know. I know I had a hard time not putting that on my list.
Yeah, Chef's Kiss. I still watch that one frequently because that is – it's in my top five vampire films. It yep. is a great
– And that's film. And that's a true indie movie too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that fucking U.S. remake that the major theaters tried to do. What a fucking piece of shit that was.
Yep.
Ugh. My number four, Barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly because that movie shocked the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
When I thought I knew what it was,
yeah.
it became something completely different.
Halfway through the movie. You're like, yeah. wait, what?
Wait, what
the hell was that?
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? I thought this was going to be Bill Skarsgård being some sort of creepy killer. No! He just got killed! Yeah. What the fuck happened?
And by what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie was fucking bonkers.
Yeah, it was. And then Justin Long ended up being like the real villain in the entire movie.
He was the actual barbarian in that film.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It was a great movie.
Yeah.
My honorable mentions.
Absolutely. My number three, It Follows. Again, relentless that film was.
I know.
It kept you on edge the whole fucking time. Every person that you saw walking, you're like, oh shit, is that it?
Yeah. You couldn't catch your breath. You couldn't catch your breath.
Yep.
Yeah. My number two, the godfather of all zombie films, Night of the Living Dead.
You know,
considering that the time that this film came out, and what it represents,
too, right? Yeah, the politics.
Yeah,
what it represents, and you know, fucking fantastic film.
Yep.
Definitely.
My number one, The Evil Dead, Sam Raimi.
Nice, look at that.
Yep.
What are the chances?
Yeah, I mean, that film really is, when it comes to independent films, that's the best one ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Evil then you Dead. Look at what it spawned. Like, you know, like.
And look at how the franchise is still going strong today.
Yeah. Yeah. And people, like, can't wait for new ones to come out.
Yeah. I have two honorable mentions. One is Hereditary, because, again, fantastic film. The subtext of the film is fantastic. The stuff it presents to your face is fantastic, and it's absolutely shocking.
Definitely.
And my number two is Companion, which I just saw last week. I wanted to put it on the list because it's so fucking good. Like, listen to me. These guys at Boulder Light Pictures. They put Barbarian out.
Yeah.
You know that they're going to give you something that's going to make you go, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm sold, man.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, go see this movie when it comes out.
Yes. Yes. All right. Awesome.
Yes.
That was a very good top five list, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, we could have narrowed that shit down, though.
Yeah, it was tough.
I was like, yeah, that'll be good.
You are a fucking star, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so cool, Brewster.
All right. Let us move on to our movie review. The movie this month is Oddity from 2024. Oddity on Rotten Tomatoes has a 77% audience score and a 96% tomato meter score. It's an hour and 38 minutes long. Let's give a little quick synopsis here. When Danny is brutally murdered at a remote country house that she and her husband Ted are renovating, everyone suspects a patient from the local mental hospital institution where Ted is a doctor. However, soon after the tragic killing, the suspect is found dead. A year later, Danny's blind twin sister Darcy, a self-proclaimed psychic and collector of cursed items, pays an unexpected visit to Ted and his new girlfriend, Yana. Convinced that there was more to her sister's murder than people know, Darcy has brought with her the most dangerous items from her cursed collection to help her exact revenge. This is directed by Damien McCarthy, producer Laura Tunsell, Mehdi Marie Kongs, I can't even pronounce these names. Screenwriter Damien McCarthy, distributed by IFC Films, production companies, Keeper Pictures, Shudder, and Nowhere. It's a rated R for some bloody images, gore, and language. It's a horror mystery thriller. It's English. It was released July 19, 2024 in theaters and then on streaming August 20th, 2024. The box office in the U.S. only grossed $1.2 million. The runtime is an hour and 38 minutes.
You know, it's funny. All right. I picked this film, but Craig was going to pick it. He said, hey, I want to watch Oddity unless one of you guys is going to pick it. And I had already decided that this was the one I was going to pick because I had heard from a friend of mine that it was a good flick. So, I picked it, but I also saw his previous one, Caveat.
Yeah, yep. I was in.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. You could definitely tell it's the same dude, like from a lot of the stuff he does. This one definitely, I think, had a better story than Caveat did.
Yeah,
but definitely same dude. You could tell for sure.
Yep. And the rabbit toy was.
Yeah, there. he was there on the shelf.
Yep.
You didn't see Caveat, so when they were showing all the stuff on her shelf.
Yeah.
The rabbit that was on the shelf, he was from Caveat.
Caveat. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when we'll start right away by saying, you know, spoilery review. We're going to talk about this film. We're going to talk about what we liked, didn't like. We're going to discuss what happened. So if you want to watch this film and you don't want to be spoiled, please pause now. Go watch your film. Come back and listen to what we have to say. Okay. That said, the environments were eerie.
Dude, and he great use of sound too.
Use of sound, yes.
Yeah, but you're right. The like the angles and stuff. The
not even that. Yeah, like the lighting too. Like because the scenes where the tent is set up and lit, and then in the background it's kind of dark, and you can just kind of barely see if there's anything there. It kind of gave you that edgy feeling, like when the guy came to the door and he's knocking. He's like, "Someone went in there."
Yeah.
Someone went in there.
With his creepy little glass eye, like, peering through the peephole.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, like, that whole movie was, like, it gave you, it was eerie. The entire film, I thought.
Yeah.
And you sort of knew it, too. Like, they wanted you to think, you know, this guy was a creeper, but you sort of knew that he was telling the truth.
Right? Well, especially when the point where I felt like he was definitely telling the truth, she goes, "I'm going to call the cops." And he goes, yes, call the cops. Call them right now.
Yeah. Because I was like, okay, well, why would he say that?
And there was some fucked up circumstances, right? She couldn't find her phone.
Yeah.
It was a bad scene.
Yeah. It was pretty wild. And then when it turns out, which they don't, that's the thing, is they don't tell you what happened. Like,
nope.
They cut the black and it's like, boom, all of a sudden.
And they show her husband talking to the sister.
Yeah.
In the shop.
And that's, so it was the same girl. I didn't realize that. The same actress.
She played both. Yep.
And it took me a while to notice. I'm like, you know what? I think it's the same actress. Like,
when they said twin sister, I'm like, it's the same actress.
Yeah.
Well, before they said that, I'm like, she looks, I mean, other than the hair.
She's
like
from the Game of Thrones. Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, she was the tall knight lady.
Was it?
Yeah. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did. I don't know, man.
No, that wasn't the same girl.
Yes,
that,
it is.
The tall knight lady is Gwendolyn, what's her name?
Same girl.
I don't think so.
She didn't seem tall in the movie, though. I was like, she seemed tall in Game of Thrones.
No, it definitely is not the same
girl. It's her.
I don't think so.
No way.
It's her.
I don't think her. So.
No, it's not. Carolyn Bracken. No, that's not her. I'm just looking her up right now. That's not her. Look at her IMDb, the movies that she was in. No. She's a British actor that was in a lot of
Gwendolyn Christie. Okay.
Yeah, Gwendolyn Christie is different. She's like
almost 7 foot tall. That girl didn't seem that tall.
No, she didn't either. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Anyway, it was the same girl.
Okay.
I figured that out.
Yeah. She played both.
She was good, though. I thought she was a really good actress.
Yeah,
she was only in British films, which, you know. But the thing is, she was a very good actor. Apparently, she's naturally blonde, so that she was wearing a wig for the brown hair.
For the redhead, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what I was thinking too is when they finally get to the point where the sister comes and she has the wooden box with like the thing in it. You know what it made me think of? It made me that creature made me think of. Jewish folklore, the golems.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Golem? I think it was a golem.
Yeah, because yeah. She said it was given to me by a witch, and I'm like, oh, dude, that looks like a freaking golem.
And it had the stuff in it. I think, like, that's right. Like, you know, like,
right.
Yeah,
that's how you
find something.
Connect.
Yeah,
to it. Well, connect yeah, to it. Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, it was part of like a witchcraft thing. So for sure.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. My only gripe of the whole thing is the pacing, bro. Like, it felt like it was really fucking dragging on for a little
bit. See, I didn't feel that.
It was only an hour and a half.
And that's the thing. It was only an hour and a half, and there were a couple times where, like, you really could step up the pace. I think it really comes down to the British sense of, you know, the British films. You know, I don't know if you watch a lot of British films or British TV shows. They're very different in pacing. There's things that they find scary and or tension building that I'm like, is it? Kind of, maybe. I mean, it was great. Like, don't get me wrong. The murder scenes were fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah, the hatch door thing. I was like, oh, you just knew it, right? You're like, fuck
yeah.
It.
Right. Yeah.
But not only that, the ending was fucking brilliant.
I knew it. I knew that. I was like, ending I bet you there's a bell in the box. I bet you that's that bell.
And the best thing about the ending is he rings the bell.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for something to happen. And that's
and he thinks he's fucking right as because he sort of had that, you know, attitude throughout.
It was fucking great. I love the ending. Like, he couldn't do any
wrong.
Yeah.
So do you think she sent that? That's the only thing that sort of left you hanging.
I think she knew she was going to die. I think she knew that.
So she sent it prior to
the bell as like a last ditch thing in case she was gone.
Because she knew.
Yeah.
If she really was a psychic,
she knew he would ring it. Yeah, right.
But she turns out, you know, she really is a psychic. You saw some of the visions and stuff.
Yeah.
So she must have known that in the end she was going to wind up dead.
Yep.
So
she really wanted was for the guy who killed her sister to
get
pay.
Killed. Yeah.
Once that was done, you know.
And I think that she felt, I mean, she even said it, that she deserved to die because she killed a man who was not the killer of her sister.
Right.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And she knew that she was,
head.
Didn't she say like, I'm damned for that or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she knew that in the end she was going to get what's coming to her because of that she killed an innocent man.
That was kind of creepy, that guy, though. Like, I jumped when she looked down, and he was, like, looking up. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. There were a couple times that golem, like, had his head turned or was looking in a direction that you were not expecting when it happened. I was like, oh, fuck, Jesus, what the?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some good – it was a creepy movie. Like, there was a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it's kind of – what was really creepy is, like, she said, when did you take him out of the – and she's like, I didn't. Like,
yeah, and I knew he was
sitting on the chair. Yeah,
I knew the keys were with that dude.
And you're like, oh shit, the dude got out of the box all by himself. You're like,
yeah,
oh my god.
Yeah.
You know,
and
right
that's
out
the thing, like, she's blind.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's like sprinting around like doing all this shit while you're like
gone
for 5 minutes. You know?
I know, that's what I felt bad like at the end of the movie when she was just sitting there in the dark, you know, you're like, she can't leave or do anything.
To you?
Like when he's like, you pick up the phone, like if she could see, she would have just left. You know what I mean? It was like, oh.
The other thing too is I didn't find her falling down that hole believable.
Yeah, I know.
And let me tell you why. Because
she
would have
heard
person, right? A deaf person has extra sensory, like they're elevated senses. There's no way he was so quiet at picking up that big old chunk of wood from the floor and moving it, because it would have went. The king would have hit something on there, you know, just trying to get it out of the hole or whatever.
Yeah,
that part wasn't so believable.
No, I'm with you.
Is it possible that she knew? And
again,
anyway,
it's very possible she knew, and she was like, "You know what? I'm doomed anyway." This is
because she did. She paused when it was ringing. She's like, "Should I or shouldn't I?" And she's like, "Oh, fuck it!
Maybe she had her plan set in place to have that bell show up to his place, and was like, "All right, you know, the plan's in motion."
Well, yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
I was kind of, at first I was hoping that he would ring the bell and that fucking kid ghost would come running through, but he waited and he looked around and then he started laughing and then it went black and I'm like, all right, that was fucking brilliant actually.
No, dude, the kid showed up right at the end.
The kid showed up at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Like right behind him. Like right before he went to black.
Yeah. But it went right to black. You like, didn't get to see anything.
Yeah. I wish he would have done something. Like,
no, but even so, I just felt that was brilliant. I felt like when that kid showed up, because he thought he was in the clear.
Yeah.
And then it goes to black. Yeah, it didn't need to because, like I said, to me, that was just fucking perfect.
Yeah, perfect. I got you. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I could see your point, too, but like, I wanted that payoff. I wanted
to see the guy get his up and coming. Yeah.
That sick fucker.
Getting away with it, yeah.
Having dude go in there and eat that other guy and like...
Dude, and then the other thing, too, is when he goes, you could have just told her, I'm not in love with you anymore. I don't want to be with you. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? She's fucking right. But you know what? Most people that do that kind of shit, they're narcissists. They don't think in regular ways like that.
She'll never be able to let me go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
But really, it was a decent film. And it was not very long. Except, like I said, there were a couple times where I'm like, they really could kind of have a little more action. Like, that's the thing about British films. The dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, when they're talking, it wasn't like elevated emotions. It was like so very... monotone in some cases.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Yeah, that's British.
I had the higher expectations for it because they were claiming it was one of the creepiest. It was a really good movie. Don't get me wrong.
I thought it was creepy,
but I mean,
yeah, it definitely was creepy. Like the camera work was good, the lighting was good, the location, like that goofy house. Yeah. Even the girlfriend says, "Dude, two people are fucking dead in that place. Why do you keep going back to the house? Like it's a fucking creepy place."
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Like all that stuff was really good. The writing was decent too. But again, it was just like some of the dialogue seems so, I don't know, mediocre maybe. It's an early film. So I imagine this guy, he didn't do a whole lot of films. I was looking at the list of stuff he did. So it was really good for someone that's, that early in their film career.
Well, like I was saying earlier, like Caveat is kind of the same way. Like it's just it's real slow paced. And
you said that was an earlier film of his.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was like two or 3 years ago.
I recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's different.
Nice.
But
twist
again,
at the end. Yeah,
the pacing
twist.
Is kind of, the same.
Is it on Shudder?
Yeah.
I want to say,
it was. Yeah. It was. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I think that's where I saw it first was on Shudder.
It still might be. Yeah. That's where I was. I think that's the only place I think you could see it.
Yeah, Shudder is fucking great. I love Shudder. I love because Shudder at least gives you variety. You got your different films from different countries, different languages.
Yeah,
it's really good stuff. The only thing I hate about it
trash.
Is trying to find stuff is sometimes a freaking bitch.
I know,
man.
Their search function is not the best.
Yeah. So that film was great. The one thing that was kind of creepy too about that golem was his mouth always being wide open like he's screaming. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of freaky.
You know, I was just thinking when you were talking about like the guy removing the floorboards like that.
Yeah.
Like she knew that girl was taking the stuff out of the golem head, and she was sitting all the way across the room on the couch.
Right.
Sleeping apparently.
Like she couldn't hear him pick up the fucking floorboard there,
or unless because whatever she was doing that spell, maybe when she took them out, she could feel the psychic energy or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but she was across the room and she goes, "Put them back."
Yeah.
Like, how did she even know she took those out?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's why I felt like that. Just that one scene, like really, really. I thought. That she was going to not answer the phone and he was going to come home hoping that she fell through the hole or whatever and that she would have the upper hand.
Yeah.
But it turned out otherwise that her fucking head was cracked open and she was pretty fucked.
Yeah.
She wasn't quite dead yet, though.
Yeah, you had some hope for her.
Merely
I
a flesh wound.
I had some hope.
It's just a flesh wound.
I know I got a little excited when I saw she was still alive. I was like, oh, she's going to do it. You know,
Your whole head's cracked open. I'll get better.
Yeah. Minor flesh wound.
But all in all,
I recommend it. I'd say go
film.
See it.
It's a good film. Yeah. I'm going to say from me, 3 stars. 3 stars.
I'm going to go 3.5.
Yeah, I'm going 3.5.
All right. American Nightmare Podcast, 3.5 stars for Oddity. That's the other thing, too, is the name Oddity.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that came from?
The store, maybe?
The store. It was Oddities that she
collected. Oh, that's right. Oddities.
Like, it was all this different.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
I think they may have made that connection at some point early in the movie.
I missed it.
Something Oddity. It was Osley's Oddities or something like
that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what it is? Like I said, there was a moment there where I was kind of like, And then someone was texting me, and I started texting them back. And the movie didn't hold my attention because the dialogue was getting a little slow.
It happens sometimes. It happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, but very, very decent film. Like I said, very creepy, very kind of innovative. I kind of like the whole story idea. It's a different twist on revenge for love killing. So, yeah,
Caveat is still on Shudder. So
nice. Okay, cool. Still all right. There. So let's wrap this puppy up. First of all, I want to say to everyone, thank you again to all of our listeners that download the podcast every week. We have a steady stream of people. It's not really growing as fast as it was for a while there. And I kind of feel like the numbers dipped a little bit, which makes me think that I got to double check all the streaming, all of the podcast providers and make sure that all of our feeds are still good because it seems like we might be missing some of our typical audience. But anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Again, you can contact us through email at feedback@American-Nightmare.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 1-562-247-5855. If you're okay with the voicemail being played during the podcast, please say it's okay to air, and we will play
your message. Come on, somebody call! Somebody, anybody!
Yeah. And then for next month, we have the month of December, which annually, it looks like on my schedule, we have us as the top five reviewed of 2024. And then for January, we have the top 10 films of 2024.
So no pressure. I it's funny because I came up with one right away, but I don't need it.
You don't need it until next time.
Yeah. I
gotta keep remember some notes though. And be ready. Yeah. Remember. Keep a notepad and be good to go. Or if you want to, just go into you know what you can do? Go into our share and enter it into the spreadsheet now.
That's what
I
did last time.
Yep. I saw that Chris did that. Time. Yep. And that'll be good to go.
So it's Craig's turn to pick next time?
Yeah, but that won't be till February.
Yeah, but the movie. You still get to pick a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Craig picks a movie, then I pick a movie, then Chris makes a movie. So anyway, thank you for listening, and we'll have another one up for you next month.